He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means prayer.
Please open in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. It is true, I preached on miracles this morning. We don't make them happen. What part do we then play? Is there any part? Yes, we pray. And God determines what will happen with our prayers. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. In fact, we'll begin at verse 28. It starts with a question. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We serve an amazing, everlasting God. I ask now that I know that you are present with your people, as Christ is in God and Christ is in us, and we in him. I pray that you now would touch my lips and touch the ears, and may the kingdom of God be advanced as we seek it. In Jesus' name, amen. Waiting on God. The progressing Christian definitely needs daily spiritual strength to carry on in our walk with God and in our struggle with the enemy of our souls. Waiting upon God in prayer is one of the great essential sources of strength. It is so needed in our lives to wait upon the Lord. Again, I say wait. I'd like to take this passage that it said they shall renew their strength and look at it in terms of that strength coming in three dimensions. There is an inward strength from waiting on the Lord. There is an upward strength from waiting on the Lord, and there is an outward strength. Let's first look briefly at the inward strength of waiting on the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Now, that is a command by Paul. And we know that God desires you and I to be a strong Christian. I don't think it's healthy to brag on your weaknesses if it is done with the wrong motive, etc. But God desires you and I to be able to mount up above our problems. God desires us to have an abundant life and an overcoming life. And so Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I always love to see when the minority is right and how God vindicates them. My pastor, quite a leader, he used to say, if any pastor wants to get into trouble, just pick out a committee. The first thing you know is you're going to have a battle on. And he would often quote Moses, who picked a committee, and 12 were on this committee, one from each tribe. And he said Moses wanted to be real democratic. So he sent the 12 over into the land, and when they came back, there was a majority report and a minority report. This thing needs to wait on the Lord and get some power. But what a contrast between these two reports. In Numbers 13:30, it gives the minority report. And the minority report from Joshua and Caleb said, "We were able to overcome it. We can do it. Two men, Joshua and Caleb, we are well able to overcome." And then the majority report said, "We are not able." If we'll look at the contrast, these two men said, if God said we can take them, then we can take them. But the 10 men said, we can't take them. Two men said, we are able. 10 men said, we are not able. The majority was wrong and the minority was absolutely right. Beloved, we are able by the power of God to possess our possessions. What God has promised us, we can have. We can possess our possessions in the strength of the Lord. He can. It's the battery. We'll go to the faithful and true. I have seen young Christians with a backbone like a fence post. And then I have seen teenagers and older folks as well who were much weaker and wouldn't wait upon the Lord. And they were weak. It's sad to see a weak Christian that's always defeated, always down and not overcoming and not having victory in their life. But these that we spoke of that were in the majority, they were not like Daniel. Daniel was a young man, just a teenager, when they took him by force and became a slave and a eunuch and took him by force and took him 1,000 miles from home. And they tried to get Daniel to do things that was within their culture that would have been against Daniel's conviction. And they said to Daniel, "Daniel, go ahead. Everybody else is doing it." But Daniel said, "No, not everybody. I know 3 other friends I have that are not doing it." And he proved it. And he said, "We are able." I know a true story of a young man that went away to college. He stayed 4 years. He was a good Christian. He did good in college, did good work. He had a fine, upstanding Christian testimony. But in his senior year, he was asked to try out for the senior play. And he did, and he won the leading part. They handed him the script and they told him to memorize his lines. And as he read through the script, he saw that he would have a scene where he would have to be smoking a pipe. He came back the next day and he said, "I'm sorry, but I can't take this part." And the instructor asked him, "Why?" He replied, I don't smoke. We know you don't smoke, but this is just a play." And the young man said, "It makes no difference. I have 3 reasons why I won't do it. Number one, I'm a Christian, and my testimony means something to me, and I'm trying to live clean. And number two, or let me say with number one, I really don't want any part of something that the Bible says to avoid the very appearance of evil. But number two," he said, "my daddy smokes. And I've been praying that he would quit. And I have been wanting God to speak to him. And number three, I have a little brother who is 3 years younger than I. And I never want him to have one of those in his mouth. I cannot play that part." And so they threw up their hands and they said, "You know, you're just a nut. What kind of a screwball are you? It's just a little part in the play." But I want you to see how God watches us. And this young man, Bob, said, "That's all right. You can give the part to somebody else if you please." And so they put another person in the part.
But in no way could he play the part like Bob the Christian. So one day the senior supervisor called Bob into his office and said, "Bob, would you please come back? We're going to leave the pipe part out. And you can play the part and you don't have to smoke." A few days later, someone told his father, his daddy, about what happened. And the next Sunday morning, sitting in church, this father said, "I got to thinking about my boy and what a backbone he had, that he wasn't afraid, he wasn't embarrassed. And I thought about his courage, and I thought about his testimony and his clean and his holy life. And God used it to break my heart. I literally fell over the bench and I wept my soul out and said, 'Oh God, help me to be like my boy.'" And that young man went on to be a great man for God. He went to be a missionary for the next 12 years and then came back to the States to pastor a very fine, strong church. You know why? Because he proved that you can be a strong Christian. We live in a day where Christians rarely have convictions and where it is just everything's okay. And that is not a good thing. The men that you find that God used had convictions. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit is sent to do is to convict us or to convince us of Christ and of his amazing life and of his holiness. And may that holiness dwell in us, and may the Holy Spirit bring strong Christianity to us. And oh God, give us Christians who wait upon the Lord to whereby he will give them a supernatural strength and give them a backbone like a saw blade and have conviction. Thank God for inward strength that comes from waiting on the Lord to renew our strength. A strength that is godly, that comes from waiting on God, is the kind of strength we should be seeking. The second kind of strength, I believe, that results from waiting on the Lord, the first is an inward strength. The second is an upward strength. You'll notice the text says, "They shall mount up with wings as eagles." I'm working on a sermon, Brother Jim Haynes, or Brother Jim Wilbanks, he's really waiting on the Lord, he remembers a sermon years ago about a minister preaching about an eagle, but that day will come. But it says that they shall mount up with wings as eagles. That means there's something upward that causes, that lifts you up when you wait upon the Lord. I like this upward business. It was thrilling years ago when John Glenn made his historic orbit around the world. But I can't help but think that one day I'm going to make John Glenn look like a novice, because one day, folks, we're going up and gravity will lose its hold and mortality shall take on immortality, and we're going on up to be with the Lord forever and ever. And I'm going to have a new body and I won't need to wear anything for protection. But we read in Psalms 103 verse 5, it says, "Thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now you know the eagle is no earthly bird. He doesn't like the mud. The eagle doesn't like the filth or the dirt. He likes to get on the highest mountain peak where he can see everything with the amazing eyes that God has given him. And as he is way up there, way up on the highest peak, so he can get a good perspective. The old eagle likes to soar so high that everything below looks so insignificant. And we need Christians who live in the clouds with heavenly things and heavenly principles on their mind. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And may we set our affections on things above and not things below. And as you wait upon the Lord, it will give you an upward pull. It will put you into the heavenlies, and it will give you a better perspective and life in this earth. as we sing will look strangely dim in the light of this wonderful grace. But we need Christians who refuse to walk in the dirt, refuse to stay down in the mud and the things that we were not intended for. You see, when you wait upon the Lord, it has something that it does to your spirit and your soul. It lifts you. Years ago, a Tennessee mountain boy heard an old eagle scream. And with a keen eye, he pulled the trigger of his rifle and he brought him down with a broken wing. He took him and chained him in the barnyard in the filth among the other animals. He was kept until his wing healed. And one day, another mating eagle, flying way up in the clouds, let out a scream. And the chained eagle heard it and screamed back and lifted his head toward the sky and stretched out his wings and he tried to go up. And the boy saw it and came and loosed the eagle. And with a scream of victory, that eagle flew and mounted up into the clouds once again where he used to live. God did not intend for us to live down in this earth. We are in it, but not of it. But oh, there's something, people, that causes us to be what we really are when we wait upon the Lord. We will renew our strength. We shall mount up with the wings of eagles. There is an inward strength and there is an upward strength. And surely this is a picture of the life of victory that God wants to give his people. God never wants you to live too deep in this world. Yes, we're in it, but we're not of it. We are men and women of the sky. Our citizenship is in glory, and our Savior is up there, seated in the right hand of the Father, ever to live and make intercession for us. And we are people with the upward look. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. There is an upward strength awaiting you as you wait upon the Lord. And then the third, it is an outward strength to keep us faithful in the work of God. There's the inward strength, the upward strength, and the outward strength. Three dimensions. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it declares, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." A pastor once wrote that he had a wonderful Christian man in his church whom he loved dearly and who gave up one day his responsibilities. He headed up a Sunday school department with a staff of 25 workers. And for year after year after year, this man was faithful. He won people to the Lord and he did a fine job. And one day he just gave it all up. And for a long time he wouldn't tell anybody why. Finally he told his pastor, "Do you know why I gave up my department? I'm not proud about it. I'm really rather sad and lonely and disappointed." But He did give it up. And he says, "The reason that I gave it up is because I just became weary. I just got tired." How many know what it is just to get tired and just to get weary? And we just keep doing it. But oh, the Bible encourages us. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with the wings of eagles, and they shall walk and not faint." God help us to do that. And may I say that there is a strength that comes that will work outwardly for the kingdom of God. I want to close with a story that there was a missionary that went to a foreign field with his wife and child. This man was a soul winner. He had not been there long on the mission field when his little child took fever and died. With a broken heart, he and his good wife took the baby and buried him in a foreign soil to await resurrection day. After a few weeks later, his dear wife, the same fever that attacked the child came to his wife. She became sick and she died, and he buried her beside the baby. Not long after, he himself took the fever and he began to waste away. But somehow he survived, and now he's poor and his emaciated body, hardly able to stand on his feet. He comes home to America, and there was not one person there to greet him or glad to see him. When he got off the boat, nobody met him. He walked down the streets of one of our large eastern cities with a few dollars in his pocket, and he went and rented a room. And there, as he was in this room, he began to pray, and he began to feel sorry for himself and really down, but he heard a small, still voice that said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not." And this pastor asked the Lord to please forgive him. He fell on his knees and wept and confessed, "God, forgive me for ever grumbling and complaining. Renew my strength from this day. As long as I live, I will serve you." They that wait upon the Lord. One other thing I forgot to tell you. As he was in his apartment feeling down, he heard the voice of the Lord say, "Son, you are not home yet. When you get home, there will be somebody to meet you." And isn't that true? We are encompassed about, the scripture says, with a great cloud of witnesses. And as he fell on his knees and wept and confessed, "God, forgive me forever grumbling and complaining. Renew my strength from this day. As long as I live, I will serve you. They that wait upon the Lord." Let me close. Do you have a problem that you're wrestling with? Have you talked to many people about it and no answer has come and you can't seem to find a solution that has been offered? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Are you fighting perhaps a besetting sin? Have you said a million times, "I will never do this again"? Have you prayed, "God, deliver me"? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Have you been offended and you're fighting feelings of animosity and bitterness and wrong feelings towards someone, and you've tried and tried, but you can't seem to get rid of those feelings in the heart? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Have you lost your joy? Have you lost your enthusiasm? Have you become weary like this man after serving in his position for years and years? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Listen, the strength of our church is prayer. It is prayer. And oh, what needs we often forfeit. All what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God and clear. Romans 6:14 declares, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." You can have victory. You can have victory in your heart, in your life, and where God has called you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It was the waiting on the Lord of those 10 days. What do you think God did with those prayers as they waited upon the Lord? Were those prayers necessary for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Partly. But God takes our prayers and they come back to us in ways that we perhaps often are not aware of. It was their prayers that birthed the New Testament, where 3,000 souls were added unto the church. Daily was added to the church, such as should be saved. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It is every revival that you ever study where you find there was a move of God. We have a tendency to think it was a great speaker, or it was someone really gifted, or they had in someone that could really sing, or they had great promotional skills or great other skills that brought it about, and not to make less of those things. Listen, nothing has ever been done if there was not prayer ahead of time to birth it and to bring it about. Until Zion travailed, she brought forth no children. And then you have children coming down the birth canal, but there is no strength to deliver them. We need prayer for birthings, as Hannah prayed for her empty womb and Samuel came forth. And we need prayer also for those that are in the birth canal. Oh, just so ready to be saved. But what will make that final push is prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. And would you stand? Norm know how to quit quick, and I learned real quick, so let's stand. And they that wait upon the Lord, would you come and let's just stand this evening as we want to make our hearts unified with one another and a pact that, Lord, may we as a church recognize the need to wait upon God. It isn't great preaching. It isn't great organization. It isn't great all administrative things, as much as Romans says those things are important. It is prayer, 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 prayer. I can't tell you the number of times I'll wake up and walk down the hallway and pray, oh God, I'm waiting upon you. Oh God, I need you. I can't do this, Lord. I have a need. And we talked this morning about needs. Oh, may we pray. Father, we join our hearts this evening of Calvary Temple. We thank you, Lord, what you have done. And oh God, the things that have been wrought by prayer. As Jesus said, Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Jesus prayed in the wilderness. He prayed in the garden. He prayed all night. Daniel prayed three times a day. And oh God, may we be encouraged as we hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh God, we need thy strength. But we know our part is to wait. May you raise up intercessors in this church. Raise up, Lord, people that know how to wait upon you and to linger in your presence. Oh God, may we wait upon you. May we wait upon you. May we wait upon you. Oh Lord, in a day of a rush and hurry, oh God, may we not insult the Most High God and come into his presence with thanksgiving and into his gates and into his courts, oh God, and linger and await upon you. Holy Spirit, we ask, oh God, for you to bless your people. Lord, not just here, but may you give each one here a prayer life. May you give each one a dedication that begins to know how to wait on God. There's an inward strength. There's an upward strength, and there's an outward strength. Bless your people. We pray one for another in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By the way, prayer meeting Thursday morning. 10. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.